Alright, I'll tell you what, guys, I got our first guest on the phone here, and of course, we've all seen him. He's been a popular figure here in the last couple months, really taking the scene by storm. I'm talking about Ariel Helwani, formerly of MMA Rated, currently JerryPark.com. He's the broadcaster, announcer, pretty much editor-in-chief of both of these sites that I mentioned, but, you know, like I say, we see his interviews 4 or 5 minutes with a lot of the top fighters. So, welcome, Ariel, to Tag Radio. How you doing?
What's up, guys? Great to be here. Finally making it to Tag Radio. It's definitely a milestone in my career, so thank you very much.
He's the second hardest working guy in MMA journalism.
Second? Who's number one?
Me, bro.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My bad.
Wow, boy, you're not great at journalism. Horrible at catching a segue. Wow.
Ariel, I wanted to ask you, obviously, first of all, I know you're disappointed. You know, MMA Rated is no longer out there, and it had really done well, like I say, especially in the last 6 months. It really picked up some steam, and you've gotten a lot of love from the fans and your peers. But can you give us, what can you share with us? I know some stuff is kind of swept under the rug and we don't know too much about, but what can you share with us about what happened there?
Yeah, I'd be glad to share with you guys. Actually, just to sort of correct you, MMA Rated is only 7 months old. So a lot of people are like, yeah, it really, you know, the last 6 months, that's all we were around. So I'm kind of proud of the fact that people may have thought we were around longer and only made an impact recently. But I guess by that, I take that, you know, we made an impact from day one. So that's kind of a cool feeling. What happened was a couple of weeks ago, I was actually in San Jose to cover the Strikeforce show, and it was a very weird situation because I was at AKA. You know, I saw it. I was there a day early. I was going to go to AKA anyways, and then this whole John Fitch thing happened, and that was just another. I don't know who's smiling down upon me, but that was just the right place at the right time that I happened to be there, and you know, got all those interviews and stuck around while Fitch was talking to Lorenzo Fertitta and finally found out that he was going to be rehired. And in the midst of all that, I get a call from, you know, the powers that be, so to speak, saying that, you know, times are tough in the company. MMA Rated was owned by a company called the Wasserman Media Group.
Who?
And they had a web division called Sportnet. And they said times are tough and they have to make some cutbacks. And unfortunately, the websites weren't surviving. It wasn't just MMA Rated. It was, you know, all the websites. And it really sucked. I had no idea this was happening. Our traffic was growing every month, and I really thought we were gaining a lot of respect and acceptance in the MMA world, and the fans were so great when I would go to the events, and just like that, the rug was pulled from underneath me. So I don't know, actually, the site's not going away. I really don't know what they're planning on doing with it. I don't work for them anymore. The last thing that's been put on the site was something that I posted, the Gina Carano interview. I don't know if they have any plans of continuing it. They are into MMA. They have a sports agency department, and they represent a lot of fighters like Randy Couture, Gina, Kung Lee. So I know they're still involved in MMA, but I really don't know what's going to happen to the site. It saddens me, but, you know, one door closes, the window opens, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Right on, brother. And you know what? Obviously, we'll focus here on the videos. I know you did a lot of the work, you know, writing up news and breaking news. But the videos is kind of what put you on the map. And what made you go for that, you know, aspect of multimedia?
Well, great question, because I went to school for journalism. I went to Syracuse University, very proud of my time there. And the only reason why I went there, I grew up in Montreal. And the reason I went there was because I was the biggest Marv Albert and Bob Costas fans. Those two guys were my heroes. Not Marv Albert because of, you know, his extracurricular activities, more for the on camera. And once I found out that they went to Syracuse, I knew I had to go there. I always wanted to be a sports broadcaster. And while I was there, I had my own MMA radio show, and I used to, you know, be on the student station on television and all that, and really wanted to get involved. But once I got out of college, for some reason I went down the sports production route. I worked at HBO Sports for a year and a half, and then I went to ESPN Classic, and I just kept getting jobs in sports production. And finally, actually, a year and a half ago, I was working at Spike TV, and I took a job working in their production department, and unbeknownst to me, the job was nothing as to what I was led to believe it was going to be. There wasn't anything creative. I like to work in production, do put shows together or whatnot, and there was nothing of that sort going down there. So 2 weeks into the job, I actually quit, which is the first time I ever quit a job. But they wouldn't let me leave right away. They made me stay there for a month, but they didn't let me do anything. So I was just sitting at my desk all day. And at that point, I was like scouring all the MMA websites. It's pretty much what all I did. And I was so, I was almost like embarrassed to be a fan looking for these videos and post-fight interviews and pre-fight interviews from the major websites. And the stuff that they were putting out was like, it looked like it was done by a 12-year-old. No disrespect, but like, you know, having the camera, holding the little digi camera, it's all shaky and asking questions. Like, it's almost like they have a script and they keep asking the same damn questions to each fighter, not really getting to know who these guys are. I don't really care about, you know, the first question you're going to ask is, talk to me about your training. Like, what is the guy going to say? Suck? Of course he's going to say it's great and I feel the best that I've ever felt. So at that point, I was like, all right, I'm kind of at a crossroads here and I'm going to start doing this. So I just opened Jerry Park. I was doing radio interviews. So they didn't really have the means to go out to the shows. And then the guys at Washington found me in April, offered me this job, and I noticed they had video capabilities. So I was like, all right, this is the one way that we can really nudge in there and make a name for ourselves. Let's go to the shows and do the interviews. And thankfully, everything kind of took off from there. And really, I don't really think it took off. I mean, I'm not sure, like, I think we only really scratched the surface here. There's a lot more work to be done, but at least I'm happy that, you know, my peers and some fans were able to see this stuff, and hopefully a lot more people in the future.
How did it go with the fighters? Obviously, you know, at first, you know, in the MMA world, it starts off with a little bit of hate, like, who's this guy, who's the new guy? But it seemed like you built some rapport with a lot of the fighters. You named Gina Carano. She seemed like she was having a good time. And some of your questions were good questions, but sometimes they're the types of questions that, you know, might be uncomfortable for some of the fighters, especially, you know, 48 hours, 24 hours before their fight. Sometimes they can be, well, I know they can be very moody or and all that, but how did it go overall? You know, can you share any stories?
Yeah, I've got some good stories. And right off the bat, I was really lucky because the first interview we did for MMA Rated was with Roger Huerta at his hotel room when he was with Ariani. Some fans might know that interview when they're in the hotel room together. It kind of looks like a porno movie, but it was all legit. And he gave me a lot of props after. He's like, "Your questions are great, man. You have great, you know, presence. You know, continued success." And that was the first one. So I was like, "All right, I think I belong here." But then, I guess it's like in anything in life, I started to get some hate, and I don't know if it was just, you know, hate because of jealousy or hate because people didn't like me. And that really all, you know, it came to the forefront after I did an interview with Forrest Griffin. And it was weird because I thought it was one of my favorite interviews. I thought it was one of my best ones because we were just shooting the shit and, you know, he was messing around with me and we were joking. It was at Extreme Couture before the Rampage Jackson fight. It was in late May, the weekend of UFC 84. And everyone was hating on me, saying I was awkward and whatnot. And then I was like, man, maybe I should stick to, you know, just doing the audio stuff and writing. Maybe I don't have what it takes. But That week later, it was the Elite XT show, and some people started to know me, like some of the other fighters, like Gina recognized me, and she's like, "Oh, you're great," and, you know, Gina's, you know, as you guys know, a great person. She's very friendly. She's very personable, and when you get props from someone so nice, you're like, okay, all right, now I really belong. So that made me feel good, and then at that point, I was like, okay, I'm not going to read any more of the comments. I'm just going to go out there and do my thing and be comfortable and ask the questions that I feel like no one else was asking on camera. I mean, plenty of people are doing it on radio and stuff like you guys, but just in terms of the videos, I felt like I wasn't getting enough. And then I really started to get my confidence with the House Case My Pee-Pee thing, which, you know, some people might know about. It was Andre Arlovsky, and when I asked him about his ex-girlfriend, the rumors of her being with Tim Sylvia, and when he dropped that line, that was like, you know, I guess that's the catchphrase that I'm not going to be able to escape for a while here. That was my "You're With Me Leather," if anyone knows that famous Chris Berman reference. So once people saw that or heard that, and it really took off, and 2 days later, Josh Barnett said it in an interview, and a week later, Thomas Bendy said it, and I was like, wow, the fighters know who I am. They're giving me props after we stopped rolling. It just made me feel so good. And in all my times of, you know, hounding people and asking for interviews, I was only turned down once. It was Nate Diaz in Stockton. I went up to him. I was like, "Yo, Nate, you know, should we get just a couple of minutes of your time?" He's like, "Nah, man, I'm good." And I was like, "Are you good? Because, like, you want to do the interview, or are you good because you don't want to do the interview?" He's like, "I'm good." And he walked away. And I was like, all right. You know, I just got turned down by Nate. But other than that, it was cool. I got to interview Frank after the Affliction show, and he was really awesome. He talked to us for almost 10 minutes. right after the broadcast is over. So I always appreciated that, Frank, and we talked a little TNA. I think he enjoyed that as well. So everyone was really cool, and I just couldn't believe that people were actually watching the videos at first. And then afterwards, I was like, all right, keep it professional, and, you know, you're here. Time to do some more good interviews.
Yeah, man, the house taste, my big TV or whatever, that really did basically take the whole scene by storm as far as who the Hawani was with MMA Rated. And, of course, recently, since we're on that, I wanted to ask you, I guess there was a little bit more to that. And can you share what's happened since then with us?
With that reference?
Yeah.
Well, the thing kept growing. And, you know, Barnett said it in two interviews. He said it after his affliction victory over Pedro Hizo. And then he said it the week later when I was interviewing Shayna Baszler. He walked in the middle of the shot and said, "How's Taste My TV?" And I was like, I can't believe it. This is that. And people started saying it to me at the events. Thomas Denny said it. And then I really noticed that it actually, like, you know, hit mainstream when someone on the UG... I believe his name was Retard on the UG. He brought a sign to UFC 91, and it made the broadcast. When Brock Lesnar is coming out of the tunnel, you can see him holding the sign that says "How Tastes My TV." And I was like, I couldn't believe that it. Like, it, you know, it's one thing for it to be some joke on the internet, but it's another thing for a guy to actually write the sign and put it out there and like bring it to an event and actually make the broadcast. And I actually Googled it yesterday for the first time, and there's tons of pages. I couldn't believe that. You know, how many people even know about this thing? And actually yesterday, someone else wrote me an email about it, and they're like, you know, what are you doing next? And you can't let the House Taste My TV movement die. And I remembered that I had an interview that I shot in July with the ex-girlfriend, Trisha McClure, and her boyfriend at the time in Fullerton, California, the weekend of affliction. We were at some gym. She told me to do an interview. She wanted to do an interview about this whole thing. So I was like, cool. I drove an hour to do the interview. I did the interview with her and her boyfriend at the time, this massive bodybuilder guy. I mean, the guy was like outweighing me by at least like 280. I'm not that big of a guy, and this guy was, you know, this guy was like a super, super duper heavyweight. And we did the interview, and I asked her right off the top, you know, what do you think of House Taste My Pee-Pee? And he went nuts on me. Like, the guy, I posted the clip online yesterday, and since then he sent me some very choice words via email, not to, you know, to take it down. I've taken it down, but if you saw it or if you didn't see it, the guy, you know, throws her off his lap and then starts screaming at me. Then the cameraman cut, which is like the number one rule of journalism. You never cut the camera, but he did stop rolling. But the guy started screaming at me, started threatening my life. We went outside. I just went outside because I wanted to get out of there and, like, have everyone, you know, take a breather. And then he started screaming, brought his other friend. They were threatening me. So that guy was a little scary, but thankfully we held our own. And I posted the video yesterday. Some people liked it on the UG. Since then, I've decided to take it down because she's asked me nicely not to. I guess, you know, they've had some issues, and he's asked me not so nicely not to take it down, and I don't really feel like dealing with that crap. Some people thought they had a good laugh, and that's pretty much where it is now. You know, who knows, maybe we'll make t-shirts or something, but there are no future plans for the House Taste My TV movement.
Yeah, man, that shit was crazy. I did catch it yesterday, and since then I guess you have taken it down. I wanted to show it to a buddy, but you know, I understand. I guess you don't want some crazy ass coming after you. But I wanted to ask Trig. Trig, you've done tons of interviews, and you know, you did do the one with Ariel after Affliction. I just wanted to ask your opinion. You know, it has to be a little refreshing to see the guy with you know, the microphone and conducting a more serious interview than basically the camcorder being held and asking the questions that way. I'm sure as a professional athlete, you can appreciate that even that part's growing, right?
It's all the same. It really hasn't. We really don't notice the difference. In a situation like that, especially after an event, you get you basically walking down the line and you get hit by 15 or 16 different people at once. The only thing that's really changed for us as athletes is that there's more people out there doing it. Some of it ends up on some random, you know, fuck me, blow me website off in the corner of Terre Haute, Indiana. And another one ends up on, you know, MMA Rated. And some of them end up on MMA Junkie, and some end up in somebody's, you know, TV at their house and jerking off to it every day. I mean, it's destination of the beach. You don't know. I mean, you don't know. So, and even the guys, I've had guys come in with you know, $4,000 video cameras and $5,000 microphones and dressed in suits and doing this whole bit. And they come in and they write and they do this whole thing. And there was their dad's camera and their mom's microphone and their uncle's borrowed suit. And then, you know, it ends up on some porn site. I mean, so you can't tell. I mean, we have the, there's no regulation really for the media. You just hope that you just do the same thing. We almost have to act like politicians. We have to stick with our story. We have to say the same story over and over again. So, like, they got Affliction, for example. I had to say the same thing 17 different times. Got 17 different interviews. And you just hope that it ends up in the right spots. And then when it doesn't end up in the right spot, that the other 16 that did will counteract that one that didn't. You know, and that's kind of how the game is. But it's you know, we really can't tell as athletes because we just, we're getting hit so much, so often, we have no idea half the time what it is. Like, you really don't know. Unless you know the guy. Unless you know the guy personally, you don't know what's going on. You have no idea.
Yeah, you know, sorry, go ahead, Ariel.
No, I was just saying, for the record, none of my videos made it to any porn sites that I know of, and my parents didn't own the camera that I was using, so, you know, just, you know, we were legit.
Yeah, but you're wearing your mom's clothes, and it was your dad's camera.
Yeah, so yeah, no, my mom did buy my clothes, no doubt. And she always, like, trimmed my eyebrows and touched my hair, so she had a help in, you know, making me who I am, but the equipment was mine.
Oh, okay.
Do you have a unibrow, Ariel?
Do I have a unibrow? No. Thankfully, I don't. I could, you know, I could try to, like, pencil it in, like Santino Marella, if anyone knows him, but right now I'm not sporting it now.
Well, I got to tell you, I like the interviews. I like the one Trig did with Ric Flair the other day. I just think that it brings so much more when you actually have the interviewer standing next to, you know, whoever they're interviewing. And
George, you mean from a visual aspect?
Yeah.
I thought you meant from an actual comment. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question. I thought you were talking about just like having a guy interview you. I'm like, well, there's so many we don't know. No, it's much better when you have actually somebody to talk to standing next to you as opposed to looking to the right of the camera. That's one of the things I don't like about Sure Dog, is that because they have so many reporters and it's just a guy holding a camcorder. And whenever you do an interview with Sure Dog, 9 times out of 10, you're looking to the right of the camera, talking to the guy holding the camera. And to me, it just kind of makes it looked up. Yeah, I do like it a lot better when there's actually somebody talking to me with a microphone standing next to me. I do like that a lot better. Because it gives me someone to have a conversation with. I don't feel like I'm talking to a lens. I feel like I'm actually talking to a person, so it makes the interview better. In that aspect, yeah, I do like that better. But I thought you meant just people in general. Like, I got no fucking idea.
Well, and the good thing about Ariel is he's very knowledgeable of the sport. And it reminds me a lot of you, George, and the fact that he's real good at being just off the cuff and not really knowing who he's going to run across next, but still put together a nice interview in a very short period of time. So that's going to be missed for a while until he gets landed somewhere else.
Yeah, Ariel, so any ideas? You want to go on your own, or are you looking to link up with any other sites, or are you keeping that all hush-hush?
I mean, not so hush-hush. Thankfully, you know, through some of some of the minor buzz online, I've had some people email me, a couple people wanting to start up a new website, and I'm a little, you know, skeptical about that. Not because I don't trust these people, it's just because, you know, I started Jerry Park on my own, MMA Rated. I was there since day one, and we grew it into a fairly successful website for those 7 months. And I just don't know if I have it in my heart right now to start again from the set. If I have to, and I really want to stick around in MMA, I will. But I'd really love to land with an established media outlet that I don't have to worry about pimping myself out and sending emails and posting it everywhere and. Just, you know, go out and do the work and know that people are actually going to see what you're doing. And, hopefully with the sport growing and all these, you know, media outlets now covering it and MMA websites growing, that I can, you know, link up with someone where it makes sense for everyone and help someone grow. I guess I'm known now as the video guy, so help them in their video department and, really take things to the next level. In the meantime, until I, decide on something, I'm actually still working in the MMA world. I've gone back to my my production, background, and I'm working currently on the UFC 94 primetime show, which some people might have heard about it. I think Junkie ran a story about it last week, where it's going to be very 24/7-esque. Actually, the producer of the show worked on the first two 24/7s, which in my opinion were the best ones. So the one with Mayweather, De La Hoya, and then Mayweather, Hatton. And he's working on, he's producing this show. It's going to be awesome. It's obviously about BJ Penn and George St. Pierre. It's airing 3 weeks, the January 14th, 21st, and 28th on Spike TV. And it's going to be better than the last 24/7 Bestseller. Those ones were a little weak in my opinion. So I'm helping out with that, but that's only like a 1 month job, and then the show's over. So I really don't want to go back into production, you know, full time like I was doing before, especially now that I've kind of, you know, broken through a little bit. So I'm hoping something can happen. I just got married last month, so obviously I can't, you know.
Oh, what'd you do that for?
I don't know, man. It was time to get serious. You know, I'm not that old, but the time was right. I thought I had a good job and everything was secure, and then they go ahead and, you know, fire my ass. So, in hindsight, maybe not the best decision at the moment, but I'm pretty happy about it. So, I got to think wisely in terms of the economy of things. But hopefully, I'm really hoping I can stick with MMA because I really love that. I love the fighters, first and foremost. Those guys, I've worked in other sports, and I mean, they're so cool. I mean, these guys are so down to earth and so open, and they really don't give canned answers. I mean, I never had a guy just, you know, give me the, you know, the run of the mill type of answers. So I really love that, and I love the sport and the fans too. So hopefully, I can stick around.
All right, brother. Well, hey, it's been great having you on Tag Radio. Really appreciate your time, and of course, I'm sure you will land somewhere soon. You know, like I said, we needed what you did, and that was that type of video production. So, best of luck with that. I know JerryPark.com is where people can find you, and of course, we look forward to seeing your work once UFC 94 starts to come around. So, before we let you go, Ariel, you want to give any shout-outs or plug any other sites you got going on?
No, I don't want to give any shout-outs or plugs. I actually want to ask a question. I want to turn the tables on you guys, if you don't mind. My first question was to Trigg. I thought he was going to appear at the pay-per-view on Sunday. That was the rumor, and I want to know what happened with that. TNA, of course.
No idea.
And there you have it.
Your news is surprising to me. I had no idea.
All right. Well, that was the word of the day, that he was going to be the surprise partner of Kurt Angle, but I guess not. Other than that, man, you guys do an awesome job. I'm a huge fan of John's, especially. One of the nicest guys I've ever met in MMA and in media in general, and I think he's one of the best writers out there. So, you know, continued success to all of you guys, and thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thanks again, Harry, for coming on Tag Radio. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.